know, we're on the road a lot. We're gone a lot. But the Lord's told me to make ourselves available anytime for you guys. And the more you want, the more will come. So the more you want, the more will come. And, you know, I would say this, though. Come every time you come, I would encourage you to have an empty tablet and a full ink pen. And so the Lord will give you nuggets, and these nuggets will create a pot of gold for you. Amen. So, you know, I said for 20 years we were in the church. And for the last 20 years we've been out of the church. And the Lord told me, he said, and to go into the world. And that's what I meant. We were in the church for 20 years. We were ministering in the church for 20 years, but never out of the church. So the last 20 years, we've been out going into the world. And now because of that, basically over the last 12, 13 years, we've had the privilege of experiencing over 500,000 people coming to Christ. Glory to God. Amen. And so I call it supernatural acceleration. I call it, you know, what it took some a long time to do. It now, what it took us even a long time to do, 40 years of following God together, you know, you can stop. This is where I believe it's the last day's anointing, where you come, you jump in the field, you get the same pay that those that's been in the field for all that time. You have the same knowledge. You don't have to go through what they went through to get there. You don't have to go through the things that we did to get there. You just jump in, and his anointing is there for you. I believe it's when the Lord spoke to me 13 years ago about the hand of God. You know, I never heard anything about the hand of God. I never heard anybody preach about the hand of God. I just know he spoke to my heart about the hand of God. And I'm gonna get into that a little bit. I'm gonna talk, if I get to it today, I want to talk about a fundamental things. And I say, you can have fun if you'll just try not to be mental. And it's fun with him. And so I want to give you some natural. Everybody's looking for the supernatural. But God made man a natural being to become supernatural. And so it's natural things that cause supernatural things to take place. You know, just like us being here today. I mean, you know, what's taking place today? You got to be ready to change. Amen. You got to be ready to change. You got to be no matter what. You call it like a distraction. If a distraction, there's a distraction here, distraction here. I'm going to tell you what a distraction is. It's just giving a place for God to come into action. Amen. It's not every distraction. I'm just distracted to do this. I've got to do this. Got to do this. It's setting up. Just look at that distraction as a place where God is setting you up for action. And then Amen. This brings satisfaction. Amen. Because it's really the last part of your faith. I mean, how long have you been serving God? How long have you been going after God? You know, I many years. But the greatest part of your faith is the application of your faith. And that's when you apply your faith. And I believe that's the time that we're in now. When you apply what God's given you. You have so much knowledge. You know, we perish for what? Lack of knowledge. But we have so much knowledge that he's given us, so much word on the inside of us. But everything he's given us, you know, our job is to love. I said our job is to love. Amen. And then, because that's who he is. And then it's to love him, and then it's to love each other. And then when we're loving each other rightly, then we get to go right into the world and show them the love that he has for them. But to me, my thing is, I can go over the fundamentals for you, and I'm going to, but I want this into your heart. This is what every single one, you know, they say, well, what is an apostle? You know, well, they were his 12 disciples, right? They became his, but he said, follow me. And his instructions he gave to his apostles was go into the world and tell them. And the word evangelize is basically mean it's a public, is a preacher in a public setting. It's a preacher in a public place, wherever you are. You know, I said, most of the time we've looked at it because of mindsets that the church does it this way, and this way. You know, and that's, we get set on that, and we think it can't be another way. Now, we're still learning the application of God and the things he want to do, how he wants to do things. And that's why I told Pastor John, if you want this to be an ongoing thing, then we'll keep on doing it. You know, but if you don't, if the problem is that when you think you know it all and you got it all, that's when you're in big trouble. You know, I want more. Always want more. I don't know it all, but I know the one who does. And even myself and everyone who has God in their life is only partial to what God's doing, because you're involved and you have the one in your life that knows everything, that knows how to do everything, but you're learning him and you're learning his ways on how to do them. So before I get into it, I'm still laying that platform or that foundation. And so just know this, whatever you're doing today, whether you're retired or not, you know, it's time to be, there is no retiring in the kingdom of God. There's just a refiring. And I believe the anointing on this last day's anointing is an anointing that will carry you to the end. Because, I mean, I'm in the latter stages of my life as far as, I mean, where I'm at. I'm about middle ways right now. If I lived 120, you know, I'm a little over halfway, you know. You know, but, you know, that's your decision. It's the way, you know, you don't make that decision. He enabled you to make those decisions. Fortunately, you make a decision on what you're going to do. And he said your latter days will be greater than your former days. The world says no. But he said yes. And so, you know, again, most of the people in the Bible, if they had to get to an age where they would yield themselves. And they weren't doing it their way any longer. They wanted to do it his way to become stronger. And that's how God used them. So he's not done. I think he's just begun. And I said, I definitely believe that. So have a passion for the platform you've been given and give glory to God in every situation. Now, these are keys to walking in. We'll talk a little bit about the power of God, because I think last time we were here, if you were here, we talked about where we've been a little bit, but where we are now. And I believe where God has released to us where we are at in the world now, and that he's released an anointing. He's released a new anointing. He's released a new tongue. He's released all that on us for greater manifestations of his glory. But if we're caught up in the power, don't ever get caught up in the power, because if you get caught up in the power, you'll fall. You have to be caught up into his presence always. His presence will always bring his power. But everyone falls because of power. They're seeking the power. That's why Lucifer fell, because of power. So we're always seeking his presence, and his presence will bring the power. Now I'm telling you, when you start seeing the power, then you'll start expecting power. Never expect the power. Amen. Expect his presence. Amen. Expect his presence. You're a seeker of him. You're a seeker of his presence. And when his presence is upon you, then his power is available to do exactly what he wants to do. Amen. You're just a vessel of his presence. And his presence was there. His power is available. But, you know, when power has killed a lot of people. That's why you must be in his presence and let him direct it, the power, the way he wants to. Well, I have this gift of this and this gift of that, but I don't have the gift that you have, Bill. You have every gift that God has given is available to you. He's anointed you for specific things, but everything he's anointed you for is for the salvation of the lost. Every one of us. Everyone is anointed for the healing power, the healing presence and power to be manifested by the Lord Jesus. He said, tell them about my kingdom, my presence. I'm here. I'm available now. Tell them and heal them. And so this anointing of healing has been released. How do you know that, Bill? Because he told me. Well, he told you. How do you know you heard him? Because he's confirming it with me everywhere we go. That's how you know. It's the fruit of what he's doing. And we were just in Puerto Rico, you know, and I'm learning more of him every day on how we do this. But I never say, well, this is how we do it. This is how we're doing it right now. What do you want to do right now, Lord? It's that moment that you want to do right now. And well, I think since the last time we were here, we were in a meeting and we went to Elk Creek, Virginia. There were so many people there that got healed. And then we went to Tennessee. Everybody there that wanted to get healed got healed. When we just got back from Puerto Rico, everybody in that room that wanted to get healed got healed. Well, you mean you got to want to get healed? It's a good thing to want to get healed. But sometimes the anointing is there to heal them because of what his word says. And so I'm telling you this because I'm going to give you some fundamentals today, and I don't want you to get caught up on, well, Bill said do this, and this will happen to you. You know, because it's not a method. It's never a method. It's always His message. It's always His word that changes your life. So everyone has a platform, and whatever you're doing, wherever you are, work, school, activities, anywhere, anytime, the Holy Spirit will enable you to reach those around you, not just by what you say, but also by the way you live your life and the things you do, the way you portray, the standards that you live by. Everything you do is a witness to Him. Jesus said, "You are my disciples. Now go and be a witness unto me." Saying and speaking is the number one way God wants to work through us. The first thing He said was, "Let there be light." He never said, "Let there be darkness." Amen. And then He made us in His image of light to disperse darkness wherever we go. Not just at church. The church is here to dispel darkness wherever you go. Just don't let your light go out. Amen. So the things that... Here's another little nugget. What you do first, this helps catch me. What you do first matters most to God. Amen. He is the God of second chances, praise God. Amen. But first responders are the ones who get to experience the acts of God through His mighty hand, the hand of God. Now, I'm going to tell you today, when He spoke the hand of God to me, I'm going to get into it a little bit more. I'm just laying this more of the foundation. I need a little more cement today on my foundation. Amen. So when He spoke the hand of God to me, it changed my life. I heard it from Him. So, and then He gave me one word after that. One word. Because I asked Him. But first I heard the hand of God. So the way His word is presented is how it will leave a lasting impression and open up the hearts of people. When you minister the Word of God and you minister to people in everyday life, your goal is not how great a minister you are, is that how great a minister He is, and He wants to open up their hearts. That's what He wants to do. When somebody's healed, their hearts are open. He's opening up their hearts. So it's always words, things that you do, actions that take place that causes you to open up someone's heart. I mean, just, you know, going... Somebody needing assistance at the grocery store, you know, to open up their heart by helping them. Don't walk by them. You know, just looking to help someone. It opens up their heart for Him to come in. So anything, everything is a way to open up someone's heart. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Hallelujah. You're a witness again in everything that you do, everything you say, and everything you portray. If you're a follower of Christ, then you are a minister of the gospel. You have the greatest degree. You have the greatest degree. A disciple is one who's disciplined and follows the words of instruction they've been given. Now, a disciple is also is what you call a disciplined one. And I'm not a religious person, but I do religious things. I do it over and over and over again. This is, in other words, it should be a standard of your life. I get to live today. So you must have a purpose. Smith Wigglesworth, everybody heard of Smith Wigglesworth? You know what one of his greatest prayers was every day? He said, "Lord, send me to somebody today that needs You desperately, that desperately needs You." Let that be your prayer. See, it's so important what you say. You engage what you say, and you're engaged to what you say. Amen? So everything you do, you know, the power of God and the presence of God comes through what we say. And how we present ourselves. And so I'm not trying to get you, you should never get anybody to adjust to your personality. He's given us His personality to adjust to. Most of the time we've tried to adjust His personality to ours, and He's just not going to do it. But He will use you in spite of your own personality. Praise the Lord. So why did He give me that? He didn't give you that personality. You took that personality from others. And you took that from your family. And you take that from other people. But He gave you the personality of who He is. And that's when you portray Him, when it's His personality. And actually, that's in Galatians 5, 22, 23, if you want to read it. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, again, if it's not His fruit, it gets the boot. His personality. Well, this is how God uses me, baby. That's the only way you'll let him. And his grace and mercy is upon you. Amen. So a disciple is to become a witness to others everywhere. Everywhere. Do you know most of the people we encounter are not in the church? Do you know most of the people that God and the disciples encountered were not in the church? They were outside somewhere along the way. They encountered him along the way. So others can receive and see the life of God intended for them. We've all been given the ministry of reconciling others to him. Amen. That's the reason we're still here. That's the reason we're still here. There's still people that need him. And the only way they're going to know him is not only the love we have for him, but the love we have for others and each other. I believe it first has to abide in here, in us. And the reason I say that is because 95%, I'm going ahead now, 95% of Christians have never shared the gospel with a lost person in the world. So that leaves 5% that has. And if 5% that has, then there's also between 60 and 80% of the people that have, of the 5%, you with me? That have led people to Christ has done it through a tract or a piece of literature. Now I'm saying, praise God. Praise God. I mean, there's over, is it 2.5 billion Christians on the earth right now or more? Yeah. And so this is a piece of literature. It's a tract. It's work. It works. But it's not. It is not. I'm going to say it again. It is not God's number one choice. You are his number one choice. The love of God which abides and resides on the inside of you. Now, I watch y'all. I like it. I like what I see here. I love the heart of this church. I love how you pray. I love how you pray for one another. But I'm going to challenge your faith today. I'm going to challenge your faith today. Did you hear me? I'm going to challenge your faith today to take this to another level. You want to go to another level? We're going to go to another level. We're not going to pray for each other all the time. We're going to pray for others all the time. Each other are those among us. And then we're going to challenge you to take your faith into the world and start praying for people you don't know who are lost, who you don't know that are lost. And you'll find out at any cost if they know the Lord, if they don't know the Lord, if they need healing. I will guarantee you that 9 out of 10 of them, no, I'll say 10 out of 10 of them need something. No matter what your walk is with God, it can be greater. Amen. It's greater. And that's what we're after on all people who want all things and want greater things. And these are the greater things. It's when we're being used every day of our life. Hallelujah. And I'll throw a few scriptures in just to confirm it, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:11. I'm reading out of Passage Translation. Since we are those who stand in the holy awe of the Lord, we make it our passion to persuade others to turn to him. Hey, you already turned to him. Our job now is to get others to him. Verse 14 says, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly because we are convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all have died with him so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. The one who died for us and now lives in us. Verse 18 said, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling others to God. The job has been finished. So other things that we need to look at, I like to look at, everything God done is done. Everything he did is done. It's done. It's a done work. It's finished work. And most of the time we're looking for it to come instead of being done. And so when you look at the Word of God as being a done work, a finished work, then he said, but you're not finished. He said, you're getting started. I finished my work. Apostle Paul said, I finished my work, but you have a work to finish. How do you know? Because you're still here. You're not finished. We're not finished. And on that day, we want to be pleasing in him to be able to finish his work that he's called each one of us to do. But the number one job of the church is to win people to Christ. Well, I thought it was to disciple people. It's not. That's number two. That's number two. So number one is to win people. Number one is always to win people to Christ. Number two is to teach people, to disciple them. Number three is to send them, to send people into the world. Because that's what he said. He didn't say, okay, I'm leaving, y'all go to church. He said, I'm leaving, now I want you to go into the world and tell people about this church. You are the church now. You are the ones. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting excited as I am. Now, this wasn't the plan of action today. All right? I'm okay. I'm really fine. I mean, I didn't get to get up in the pulpit up there today right after praise and worship. I'm really okay. You know why? You know why? Because I told the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, I desire that you use, that your gifts come in me and on me and flow through me. But if you so desire to use anybody else other than me today, then you go ahead. So again, take yourself out of the equation and allow His will to be done however how He wants to work and operate. And He'll keep operating. But if you put yourself in there, we're coming back with that little known factor called pride again. And it's always going to stop the anointing from flowing in your life. See, it's all about the anointing. The anointing is the presence of God. The presence of God brings the power of God. Don't look at it backwards. The power doesn't bring the anointing. The anointing brings, the presence brings the anointing. Amen. And the anointing is the power of God. But never be caught up in, you want to live a longer life, a long life? Get caught in His presence. Hallelujah. Now I'm just telling you these things because you will walk in the power of God. So this is a key. It's always His presence that brings the power. And when His power comes, thank God for His presence and what He did. You know, I really can't do anything. I'm just available for the one that can do all things. It's His power. All time. Every time. Everything. You give God glory for all things. For everything. If you take any credit, that's the end of it for you. That's your reward. When you take the credit, that's your reward. Do you know a lot of people in heaven are going to be without a crown? Now that lets you know that God's grace and mercy is great and sufficient. But do you want to be in a kingdom without a crown? Don't you have a crown? And every precious jewel in your crown will be every precious person that you talk to every day along the way. That you got saved, or you got healed, or you got filled, or you got delivered, that you helped set free. He told you to go and do this. He said, you go and heal the sick. Because I'm in you, I'm on you. But remember, it's my presence that brings the power. Amen? So, hallelujah, all that came out of His work is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. The work is complete. And all we have to do is accept the free gift of work that has been sealed and delivered. Everyone will accept and believe. Mark 16:15 in the Passage Translation again said, I like the Passage Translation because it's passionate. Passion is a very key to you walking in the kingdom of God. Passion brings compassion. If you're not passionate about what you're doing, nobody else is going to be passionate about it. Amen. So Mark 16:15 said, and He said to them, as you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the goodness and is baptized will be saved. And who does not believe the good news will be condemned. See, our job is to encourage them to believe. When you pray or speak over someone, remember, it's not a religious prayer. Our prayer is always, the first thing I tell people when I talk to them, it's not about, because of the way the world sees Christianity, I say, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. That's what I love Pastor John. First thing he said, it's all about relationship for us. And that spoke to my heart. That's what we tell people everywhere I go. And they say, what do you do? Well, I'm a minister of the gospel. Well, I said, no, believe me. I said, it's not about religion to me. It's about a personal relationship. And that changes the whole atmosphere by the things you say and the things you do. Now, in church, I'm jumping ahead. I'm giving you a few nuggets. In church, we say, When we pray, what do? We bow our head and close our eyes, right? Have you found that scripture? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's reverence, honor, focus. But in the world, I don't close my eyes. I don't, when I'm praying for somebody, I don't close my eyes. I speak to them because God's speaking to them. And God speaks to them through my lips. He speaks to them through my eyes. He speaks to them through my actions, through everything that I say and how I speak. How I speak. How you are letting God speak through you. Again, Galatians 5, 22, 23. That's how He speaks to you. Peace, joy, all those. Amen? Amen? So get this in you. And if you get that in you, then you can be like Him. Yeah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, if you want His personality, you need to meditate on this with everybody. These things do not move us. You want me to tell you what's moving you? What you're talking about. I'm not moved by what I see. If you're moved by what you see, then the world's moving you. Amen. Now, I give you the basic little techniques, but it's got to be here. It's got to be here. It's got to be here. It's got to be thinking like Him. It's being like Him through that relationship, spending that time with Him, knowing Him more. How do you do that? Read His Word. Spend time in His Word. And everything you do, everything. So, remember, it's not a religious prayer that you speak to people. You can just speak the word or just one word and it will have an effect on them. How do you know that, Bill? Because I've spoken one word to people and it's changed their life. How do you know that, Bill? Because I was in a place where I may not ever seen them. But they found me next year when I came back to that place, an event, and came to how that one word changed their life. Amen. Changed their life. One word from heaven. So God's word always, always, amen, always, no matter what the circumstances. Well, and you know, the reason a lot of us don't do this, they don't think you're called to this. But if you read the word, you're called to do this. Amen. And you're called to give His personality and His words to people. What is His personality? What's the number one thing God did for us? Loved us. He loved us. He loved us. He's showing His love in so many ways, so many things. And we think we know it all. All the thing we need to know is His love. That's why He took those commandments away. What do you mean He took them away? He only gave you one command. And if you're doing those, you don't have to worry about the others. You're not going to kill anybody. Hallelujah. Anyway. You must always... Now this is me talking. You know, this is, I believe, if you go with Kesara, whatever happened, whatever it'll be, that's just the way it'll be. You probably won't have anything. But if we went with the attitude of nothing's going to happen, then we wouldn't have seen over 500,000 people come to the Lord. So set goals again for your life. How about just one? Most time you got, and I look at it as this, I call it a GED. A God encounter daily. I think we have some people here in the school system, been in the school system. What is a GED? A general education diploma. It's where you get a second chance. It's where you get a second chance to graduate. God's given us a GED. He's given us a second chance to graduate with a crown. It's called a God encounter daily. A GED. A God encounter daily. And I call it Encounter 365. And you'll be alive. Amen. Every day of your life, we've been given this ability to share the gospel with somebody. Whew. Yeah. But I mean, you know, this one place, we come there and eat. Most people go to sleep after they eat. Man, I just got energized with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not, you know, there's no instant in season, out of season. You're instant in season for people who are out of season. Amen. All the time. You're never out of season. Amen. Well, no, that's religious thinking. You're always in season for people who are out of season to get them into season. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. You must go for results, But never be driven by results. The results will drive you. We go for one. Just go for one. Just go for one. And then the next one will come. And then the next one. And then the next one. I mean, we've got people that come with us. God has put a great team with us. And we're looking for more people to be with us. You know, you're on my team. I'm on your team. You know, because it's not about me. It's about us. It's about the team. Remember that? Did I say that last time? Jesus. We're the last part of His name. Us. Jesus. So it's all of us. It's not singular anymore. We're plural now. We're not the anointed one. We're the anointed ones. Jesus. So, always go for results. How do you do that? Speak. Lord, what it asks for. You see, we perish for lack of knowledge. We said, those who have not, ask not. Those who have will ask. So I want to challenge you. Lord, I'm going out today. I'm going wherever I'm going today. And I ask you to use me today for your glory today. And here's what I ask you to do, Lord. I ask you to send someone to me. Or send me to them. That covers everybody. Either send me to them. That was my first prayer. Send me to them. And I'd have that unction. I mean, me and Ginger, we were working. Even before we got into this full time, we were working. And we'd be eating and then getting ready to leave. And I said, I got to go pray for this guy. How do you know to pray for this guy? I have an unction for the Holy Ghost. How do you know to pray for this guy? Well, because he's limping. You know, because something's wrong with him. You know, because he's hurting. But His Word says, go to those that are hurting. You know, if you see something natural that's taking place into somebody, you have a supernatural God that's available to set them free. How you know that, Bill? Because I've seen them set him free. Amen. Because I didn't walk on by. Because we weren't that, we were more like the Good Samaritan than we were the priest who was on his way to do the job of the church. Which really wasn't the job of the church. It was to stop and heal him and give him a place to sleep. Amen. So, you always go for results. Now, the next question was, Lord, send them to me. Now, I ask Him. Now, if you don't ask Him for anything, you're not going to get anything. You're not. You're just going to accept everything the way it is. But I asked Him, I said, now send them to me. As soon as I asked Him that question, I was on my motorcycle. Praise the Lord. And before I could get off my motorcycle, a guy come up to me and started talking to me. And I didn't have to say, Lord, is this the guy? I mean, if you're at the supermarket, if you're at wherever you are and somebody comes up and talks to you, God has sent that person to you because He wants to get into them. They're desperate for Him. They just don't know it. But you do because God has answered your prayer. Send them to me. Send me to them. Mm. Does that help you? Does it give you a little something to do? Just start. You start by loving God. Hallelujah. And love others. You must be manifest minded in order for people to be healed, saved, and set free. God, I believe His presence is going to manifest His power. Amen. So we need to be manifest minded. Like, oh, well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if He does? I know He will. I've seen Him do it. I just can't wait till the next time that He does it. But then I don't try to figure out how He does it. Amen. Never, ever, ever try to figure out how He wants to do things. Because He did it one time, He'll show you the next time. I'm going to do something different this time. Amen. Well, I did the same thing you did last time, Lord, but it didn't work. That's because you thought it was going to work that way. This is where our relationship with Him says, no, I want you to do it this way now, Bill. Or I want you to do it this way. I don't know your name, but darling. I want you to do it this way, darling. You know, so it's listening to Him. It's always about everything comes from Him. It's through the relationship from Him. Amen? And your relationship to Him. You keep me posted on your time. Everyone y'all want to go, I'll go. But praise the Lord. I might just stand here and preach to the walls. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, faith should always be intentional. So if it's something that you're not doing, then you need to be intentional to do it. Step out in faith. Faith is doing something you don't normally do, right? But faith is also pleases God, right? But what kind of faith pleases God? Love, right? It's love is what activates your faith. Love is what causes your faith to operate. Now, what is love? I mean, what is God? Well, God is love. Period. Period. But so faith is His Word. So I may have said this last time. I say it all the time. I say it every time because you may not listen to me. You might think I'm flipped. I am. I'm flipped in for Him. But God's Word never fails. I mean, it always works. So it never fails. So the love of God never fails. So if you want it always to work and you want it to never fail, then use His Word and use His love and go to Galatians 5, 22, 23 and get His personality. Always works. So one of the first, there's so much here. Lord Jesus, there's so much here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, the Word of God is faith. Faith comes in many ways. But the number one way it comes is by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So therefore, again, the Word of God is faith. So faith comes in many ways, hearing the Word of God. Speaking, faith comes, speaking is where faith goes. You understand? So when you're speaking God's Word in love to people, then the faith of God is going out of you and going into them. Because Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." That's His number one mode of operation. Number one. Number one. "Goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it." Now He sent it in you. And now wherever you send it and speak to someone, it's going to prosper in them. Prosper. Life. His Word brings life. There's no Word of God that brings death. Every Word of God brings life because He is life. He is love. He is from above. He is light. Hallelujah. So this is so the important. If the number one mode of His operation is His Word and His words, then it should be ours. And so when we're lining up with Him in His Word and in His words, Jesus said, "I not only speak, I speak only what the Father speaks." Amen. So it's not just speaking what. Now you can speak the Word under the letter of the law and it kills. But under the letter of love, then it gives life every single time. So most of the reason that 95% of people haven't been doing this is because they are more confirmed to the world than they are to His Word. They're more confirmed. Now, Bill, I know you wouldn't want to hear that. But I'm telling you, we're in the greatest moment. We're living in the greatest moment. Amen. In the greatest moment of all mankind right now. You know that, don't you? But we have much, many more moments to take care of. We have many moments to take care of. It's the greatest moment. Hey. You know how many greater moments you have? I mean, I don't know. I don't know when we're going to check out of here. But all these moments will cause us to get out of here sooner. These moments every day. Every day. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of us think we're done. I mean, even that's what, you know, the one that you shouldn't be listening to tries to tell you. And God's telling you the greater things are coming in you and on you. Amen. Seeing is believing. I think faith comes by seeing. Well, you're not supposed to be moved what you see. Well, everybody is. Huh? Everybody's moved by what they see. Right? So why don't you see the things of God that He sees and let Him move you? So see through His eyes. Let His eyes see through your eyes. Amen. So faith comes seeing. Seeing is believing. When you see God move, it's evidence and creates faith for increase. Receiving God's Word creates faith that is now. I don't know if I shared that here when I was here last, but I don't know where I was, but it's not just faith is now. When you operate now, then faith comes now. When we operate, then He operates. You know, well, I'm only led by the Holy Spirit. No, you're not always led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He's waiting to see if you'll just go into action so He can go into action. He's not going to lead you to everything. Remember, He's already done everything. There are these times that he'll prompt you and do this and do that and do that and tell you that. But sometimes you're going to have to walk into faith. So I was in faith this morning. It didn't really bother me that I didn't get to preach up top. I'd assume preach in the basement. Praise the Lord. So I wasn't moved by that. You're not moved by these things. You're not moved by anything. It's like, oh, okay. We're in a stage of our life now. We're ready to flow. We're ready to go. We're ready to do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it. And it's not going to be the way we think. It's not going to be the way we do it. It's just not. Because it wouldn't require faith if it was. And we've lived this way for a long time. I have too. But no more. No more. No more. No more. And if you don't get it, if you don't understand it, just be quiet and meditate on it and He'll reveal it to you. As long as you're showing Him. Is that right? No. As long as you're seeking Him. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to show Him nothing except your praise and glory and honor. You know, Pastor, we had lunch last time. Yeah. Yeah, and we were just sitting there talking. And the Lord said this. And just one little word from God is so powerful. He said, we need to cover all this way, even going out. The prayer, which we know this, is a cover. You got prayers here, intercession here. You pray, praise the Lord. But the prayer is what causes the breakthrough. But the praise is what takes us through. Praise is what takes us through. It'll take you through. And I'm not just saying raise your hands and wave flags and praise God. You praise God in everything, all things and everything. You know, like one guy, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I'm doing this. I'm going out. I said, praise God. You must be in the perfect will of God. Think about that. Praise Him in everything and all things.
I feel like that the Lord wants to really do something powerful in this church, okay? And I don't know if, well, some of you may be a little like me, okay? I'm 67 years old.
Young,
right?
Young.
Been around here 67, which is kind of, I still look at it and go, I can't believe this. You know, who would ever thought, right? But you realize that the Apostle Paul had the most powerful impact he ever had when he was in jail.
Oh, yeah. He was in the basement too, wasn't
he? In jail. So I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I've got this hurt and I got to get prayer for it, or I got to work out more than I used to. I got to do this or that. You know, the devil keeps making me try to remind me that I just have some things I got to deal with a little bit more. I guess when I was younger, I was dealing with the fact that I thought I had it all together when I really didn't. But now that I'm old enough to know that I didn't know as much as I thought I knew, come on now. But I just felt like the Lord's telling me, and you see, why are we in a relationship with Bill and Ginger? We haven't even heard from her, but I know she's super anointed.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like you really need to hear from her too.
She preaches me all the time.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. I know she's got it. I just know that because I think I heard her one time too. But listen, we need to keep coming to the table here about this. You hear me? Because God wants to make us so much more effective now than we thought we were. You hear what I'm saying? Because we got to stop preaching unbelief that says, oh, the good old days. You hear me? 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 No. 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 I'll get tough on you if you do it now. You hear me? Because that is a form of unbelief.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. The Apostle Paul was in jail, and he was not thinking of the good old days. And he had more impact in that time. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, God was convicting me, brother, when you were speaking. So I wanted to share that.
Amen.
And I tried something a little different today because I really wanted y'all to hear what was going on. And since he's here, and I want him here more than once. I don't want to try to do like one seminar and see you in a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. I feel like this needs to be ongoing with us. I feel like we've got a good, come on, when you got a good recipe, guys, you cook it. You eat it. You don't just eat it once in a while. Okay? So I want to encourage you in this. So can you lead us in prayer right now? Because I just, go ahead, brother.
Here you go. Amen. We're not going to go any further with this except for when the Lord spoke to me about the hand of God. I want you to start meditating on the hand of God. Okay? Because it's the Holy Spirit on your life in the earth. He's just like Jesus. And he lives with you. And he comes on you to change people's lives. So when I heard the hand of God, this is what he said. That's when everything changed for us. That's when we started seeing double. Now, that's all I heard. That's all I heard. The hand of God. And then I had four people with me, which was my wife and three other people, who agreed. Bill heard the hand of God. The next thing we did, we grabbed hands and we prayed. And we said, Lord, you spoke to Bill about the hand of God. Now you do whatever you want to do with the hand of God on our lives and in this ministry. And for the first time ever, we went out, and during that week we led 1,331 people to the Lord. That was more than double anything we'd ever done. The next time we went out, over 3,000 people came to the Lord. The next time we went out, over 5,000 people came to the Lord. That year, 5,000 people came to the Lord. The next year, 10,000 people came to the Lord. The next year, 20,000. You see the double? You hear it?
Yeah.
You hear it? So this is him confirming his word. So I got on my motorcycle. I don't know why the Lord loves motorcycles. He just does. Because it gave me freedom. We had to get back into freedom in our life, free from things. Gave me that sound of freedom out by myself, freedom I could hear from God. So I got on my motorcycle. I said, what about the hand of God? This is the next thing he said. Everything he said is important. He said, when you stretch out your hand and give them your hand, and they give you their hand, I'm going to put my hand on them. And that was all he said. And we did that, and he put his hand on 1,131 people at that time. But this is every day of our life. His anointing's on you. Your hand is his hand. You're his handiwork. Read Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, what'd he do? Even what God told him to do, he still doubted. It said immediately. It said God stretched forth his hand and touched his lips. And he said, wherever you go, he said, whatever you say, I'll enable you. I'll fill you. Your words will be my words. That's what God did. It's the same anointing. It's the same anointing.
Yes.
It's the same anointing.
Yes.
And it's here to increase.
Yes.
It's here to increase. Yes. Now, I would just now start getting into the fundamentals of the hand of God. But I don't want to come out here and say, do this, this, and this, and this. Because we don't know each other that well. You know, you got to have that trust. You got to know, is God speaking to you today or is it just Bill? Mm-hmm. I hope it's never just Bill. Mm-hmm. It's him. So this is a challenge in your faith just to go with this, the word, the love, Galatians 5:22-23, the personality. Go out somewhere. Stretch forth your hand. Now, just in the natural, I didn't ask for her hand. So in the natural, she's going to receive me because she gave me her hand.
Right.
Well, what if she don't? So what? Right. My hand can still touch her with the lips. Amen. So whatever it may be, another thing with a hand, just a little. There's so much in it, you can't ever stop. Believers, lay hands on the sick. and they will recover. Do you have to be led by the Holy Spirit to do that? Now you will be, but the Word of God tells you to do this. The Word of God is Holy Spirit inspired. So when you see that, that opportunity, I have that opportunity. Let's go for this precious moment in the name of Jesus. And it wasn't just praying for people. I pray for people, but sometimes He just said, touch them. You need to get to the place where that shadow, what's the shadow of the Almighty?
Amen.
It's His light coming between you and them that reflects on them, that heals them. It's just getting to the place where He's going to do it. So, Father, I thank You for this opportunity today to talk to Your precious people. And, Lord, I just believe that I've spoke what all You wanted to speak today, this moment. And I ask, Lord, that they receive it. And, Lord, that they believe it. And that they speak it. That they take these precious opportunities every day along the way. When You speak to them, You unction them, You prod them. Lord, You bring the people to them. And then that You show up for them and that they be changed. They be set free. And we thank You, Lord, this is a supernatural anointing that's going to continue to increase and increase and increase because we want this. We're seeking this and we want more of You. In Jesus' name, amen.